I wanted to introduce Kirby. We all know him and love him. He is going to bring us the Word of God today. We are continuing, this will be our second in our summer series, where we get to pick a mentor or a parent and combine that person with Scripture and somehow tell you how both have influenced our faith journeys. So I'm really excited to hear what Kirby's got to say today. Let's worship.
Houston, we have a problem. Astronaut Lavelle reporting an electrical system problem with the oxygen tank on Apollo 13 moon mission. A problem that, if not solved, would have made it extremely difficult for the crew to live. It was fixed with duct tape. Strawberry Point, Iowa houses the largest strawberry in the world. The Pledge of Allegiance was originally written as a plan to sell flags to schools. The Vatican Bank is the only bank in the world that allows its ATM users to perform transactions in Latin. And as I was coming in today, the temperature in West Des Moines, Iowa, where my mom lives, was 86 degrees with a humidity of 50%. Oh, no, I see it. Now, what is he going with this? And you're wondering why this has to do anything with scriptural wisdom that you learn from a parent. Well, my mom would write me letters about every month, and the first third were these interesting bit of trivia and facts and weather. A third of it was criticizing my brother and I for being Republicans because in my mom's eyes, all economic, social, and geopolitical problems we have in this world in the past, present, and probably in the future are the problems of the mean-spirited Republicans. But more to the point, and more germane to today's sermon, the final third were critical of me for not going to church and lamenting the fact that she actually raised a son that didn't. I mean, heck, she baptized me in the Presbyterian church as a baby, took me to Sunday school, to vacation Bible school. I participated in the inter-church sports leagues, all the church activities. I got my God and Country Award in Boy Scouts for a troop that was sponsored by our church and went through a rather lengthy confirmation process to be confirmed in the Presbyterian church, only to stop going. You know, after several years of these letters, same pattern, she caught me in one of my more obnoxious and arrogant and defiant moods. So for the first time, I addressed my mom. And I said, Mom, I would go to church if it wasn't for all that darn singing and standing and listening to others sing. It's a waste of my time until I got to the real message. Now, of course, my mom wasn't going to let this go unaddressed, especially coming from her eldest. So her next letter dispensed with the trivia, dispensed with the politics, and went directly, consisting of pages and pages and pages of verses after verses after verses, telling me we should stand up and sing for the Lord. We should sing His praises. We should sing for joy. Now, of course, I didn't go to church immediately, but a couple weeks later, believe it or not, God spoke to me. Okay, it might have been a dream, but I swear I was awake. And the voice said, Kirby, your mother is right. You should go to church. You should come back to me. You should come back to your Lord. So I started to go to church. Of course, I wasn't going to let my mom know because I didn't want her to win. But on Mother's Day of 2013, on my way home from church, I pulled over to the side of the road. I called my mom. I said, Mom, I've been going to church for now a couple months. After she stopped crying, she said it was the best Mother's Day gift she'd ever received. The book of Psalms is 7% of the Bible and is a collection of songs and psalms written under the direction of the Holy Spirit by Jewish leaders, primarily King David. But as relevant as it was then, it is relevant today. So my scripture reading is Psalms 98, 1 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound, everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. Please join me in prayer. O Lord, we're grateful for all you've given us. We're grateful for the talents you give to the composers. We're grateful for the writers of the lyrics that worship your name, to the voices you have bestowed upon those who can and will sing. We're grateful that you have given most of us the ability to appreciate the songs that worship you. For those of us that can't do any of those things, we're grateful that you move us by what is sung versus the singing itself and have given us the ability to worship through the prayerful words of the hymns. For all you do, Lord, we are grateful. Amen. Now, the last sentence in my mom's letter said, "It may not matter to you, but it matters to God, so it should matter to us." That's the title of today's sermon. It matters to God, so it matters to us. So I have some questions, and I want you to keep these in mind and ponder them as I go through my sermon today. First, have you ever wondered why God desires for his people to sing? What role should singing play in the life of a Christian? And what is it about worshiping through song that is so important to God? Now, have you given these questions any thought? I trust many of you have not. But because of my mom, I have. And even though I may not fully appreciate the music and the singing, the lyrics do move me in a spiritual way, and the significance of these questions do resound in me. Now, my sermon today is on eight reasons why singing matters. A lesson I never would have learned if it wasn't for the insistence of my mother. Number one, when you sing, you obey. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message of God, of Christ, dwell amongst you richly as you sing and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." There are over 50 times in the Bible that singing or making music is a command from God. And this is in addition to the over 400 times that music or singing is mentioned. God's people are more than invited to sing. We're commanded to sing. When we sing, we've done what God has asked us to do. Number two, singing can help us engage emotionally and internalize the words. C.J. Mahoney calls singing take-home theology. Take-home theology. Because the songs we sing stays with us, are easily memorized, and are a deeply biblical summary of what is important to God. I love that take-home theology. I mean, how often have you talked about or thought about the music or the songs that you hear during church on your way home? I mean, I have generally not, historically. I did last week with the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and I really, really thank you. It was touching. Debbie does, and as a result, as Debbie and I drive home from church every Sunday, we talk about it. And that helps me. The first thing music does is helps us remember words. Ever notice how easy it is to recall a song that you sung as a child? "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me." I haven't thought of those words in 55 years. Or a TV jingle, a nursery rhyme, Christmas carols, pop songs that you learned as a teenager. Ever find yourself singing along with a song that you haven't heard in 20, 30, 40 years, or in my case, 50, that you learned as a teenager? Music and songs help us remember. Apostle Paul says, lays this encouragement out to let God's word dwell in us richly. And singing is one of the chief ways that the word of God dwells in us richly. So I have learned from my mom that singing is more than just a filler or a warm-up until the sermon. Number three, when you sing, you build up others. Ephesians 5:19 says you should address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we do what the Bible says and sing together as a church family, we're hearing confessions of faith all around us. And I want to repeat that because for me, this is what it's about. We are hearing confessions of faith all around us. This is true whether we sing or, in my case, listen to other things while we take in the message behind the lyrics. We're building each other up in solidarity. And number four, when you sing, you are united with others. We've seen how music can help us remember, engage emotionally with the lyrics. A way singing serves words is by demonstrating and expressing our unity. Our singing tends to bind us together, more effective than simply reciting or shouting out the words. Singing enables us to spend extended periods of time communicating the same thoughts, the same passions, and the same intentions. Now, to be clear, Scripture does not talk only about congregational singing. God is honored when we sing alone. When a gifted, musically gifted individual leads us out in a solo, when the choir sings, or when different segments of the church sing to one another. The Bible isn't specific about exactly who sings when, but just exactly that we are singing together in song. Now, number five, when you sing, you're fighting the forces of evil. Whoa, this is a strange one, huh? But just think about how the devil feels when he hears songs of believers singing for the Lord. We fight the devil with our eyes and with our heart and with our mind. Then why not with our voices? According to Bob Kaufman, a featured speaker at the 2008 Desire in God conference, a singing heart is a heart at war with the work of the evil one and the power of sin. And in Ephesians 5:16, 17, and 19, redeem the most of every opportunity because days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Number six, when you sing, you're spiritually strengthened for trial. Paul and Silas were in prison for the sake of the gospel. And what do you think they did? According to Acts 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to the Lord. And the other prisoners were listening. One pastor recently in prison for his faith was quoted as saying, "When we were in prison, we sang almost every day because Christ was alive in us. They put chains on our hands and our feet. They chained us to add to our grief. Yet we discovered that chains were splendid musical instruments. When we clang them together in rhyme, we could sing, 'This is the day, cling, clang. This is the day, cling, clang. Which the Lord has made, cling, clang. Which the Lord has made, cling, clang.'" Pretty touching to me, at least. Now, prior to and during World War II, Hitler and the Nazis would indoctrinate Germans' youth starting at age 4 to age 18 in mandatory educational centers. A group of rebellious youths, many of them who were musicians, created the Edelweiss Pirates, a group of 14 to 18-year-olds that fought this and resisted this propaganda. At first, Hitler accepted it, or at least tolerated it. But after the war started, the Edelweiss pirates became a little more aggressive, or a lot more aggressive. They would put sugar in the gas tanks of the German automobiles. They escalated to even more sabotage. The Nazis rounded up the leaders and hung them in public square, and they put hundreds of them in Nazi work camps. And what do you think these Edelweiss pirates did while they were in the Nazi work camps? They made musical instruments out, whatever they could find, and they sang. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And whether they knew it or not, they were doing God's work. Now, some of us sing when we're sad or depressed. Others may cry along with the sad, oldie but goodie. In any case, we use music to either help us out of our personal trials or feel empathy for others, or, as Bill stated in his anniversary sermon, the antidote to worry and trouble is singing. Now, when you sing, you walk a God-designated path to joy. Bill often preaches the power of joy, the command that we seek joy. Phil had last week was about, in part, about joy. Like I said, the spiritual need for joy. God wants us to live a life of joy. Shout for joy, the Lord commands. And insists that music and song become part of that process. Psalms 5:11. Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. Or Psalms 63:7. For you have been my help, and in the showdown of your wings, I will sing for joy. Or even better, because it fits in times of happiness and joy or trial and trouble, is James 5:12 and 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So let me ask you. Does singing bring birth to joy? Or does joy bring birth to singing? In the Bible, they're interchangeable. You can't study one without encountering the other. Number 8. When you sing, you glorify God. Now, true obedience, deep internalization of the word, building up others, fighting Satan, being one with true believers, finding joy in God. All of these things bring joy and glory to God. Singing is such a unique way of bringing most people's, bringing their hearts and their soul and their mind and their strength together to focus entirely and completely on God. It's only appropriate that I end my sermon today with the last and least sermonized book of the Bible, Revelation. Apostle John wrote Revelation while he was on exile in the island of Patmos. Revelation, in spite of its perceived doom and gloom, features several moments of worship in which the residents of heaven and the saints of God praise the Lord for his holy character and his righteous judgment. And how do they do this? These extraordinary times of worship are usually presented as joyful songs of praise. At least 7 chapters in Revelation mention singing. There's over 100 hymns that are inspired by Revelation. So the questions that the beginning of the sermon I ask you to keep in mind. These questions: have you ever wondered why God desires for his people to sing? What role should singing play in the life of a Christian? And what is it about worshiping through song that is so important to God? And I hope you have a better understanding of the significance of these questions. Now, I'm ending my sermon today by thanking my mom, who obviously was the inspiration for the sermon today. And if not for her, I literally or figuratively would not be here today. Debbie, who was my special mention, is my editor-in-chief and advisor. John, who couldn't be here, that created the effective graphics and visuals for us today. And as always, the church, for giving me the opportunity to grow spiritually and to share this growth with you and all of you for listening. Thank you.